Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. It's no secret that housing is expensive in Boston, such that some residents are being driven out of their neighborhoods. That's why Boston City Councilor Lydia Edwards, along with Councilor Kim Janey, has proposed a plan to generate funding for more affordable housing in the city and curb high-end developers' appetite for feeding off Boston's building boom. The proposal would levy a tax of up to 6% on commercial and residential real estate deals over $2 million, and a 25% flipping tax on properties that are bought and resold twice within 2 years. Councilwoman Edwards joins us in the studio now to talk about where her proposal fits in the city's goals for more affordable housing. Hi, Councilwoman.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, we're happy to have you here. So what do you want to accomplish with the proposal?
Well, I just want to make a couple things very clear. It does apply to property sales of over $2 million, but owner-occupant properties are exempt from this. So that if you're living in the home and you're trying to build wealth within your family, you are exempt. The other thing I want to be clear is that the flipping fee or tax is up to 25%. And it provides the city the flexibility. So it's not an automatic 25%. The goal is, I think you stated it earlier, which is really just saying we need to end speculation of our housing market, which has become today the new stock market. There are houses that are bought on Monday and sold on Friday at returns that you cannot even get on Wall Street, and barely a doorknob is being put on them. That inflates those prices. The flipping, the cost of flipping also creates an artificial inflation of those prices of those homes as well. And it's to our exclusion. And when I say our, I mean the middle class, the working class, folks trying to buy or even try to rent at a reasonable rate in Boston. What we consider affordable is not actually obtainable anymore. And people are genuinely suffering. We are in a housing crisis, and it's only getting exacerbated by essentially greedy speculators in our market.
So how much money do you expect this would generate for affordable housing?
We would expect potentially $175 million to $350 million. This is, again, for all transfers of $2 million or more. Many of them were $5 million or more in the commercial context. So that is expected based off of the housing sales between 2015 and 2017 of the amount of transfers over $2 million to $5 million to potentially $10 million each. That's what our analysis showed us. So we're very comfortable saying that this is going to provide, and the money isn't just to go into general fund, it's to actually help with affordable housing.
And how specifically would it help with affordable housing?
We currently have a neighborhood housing trust that receives funds from Linkage, which is one form of construction, one form of gathering funds from housing development, and from IDP units. And that is then doled out to nonprofits, CDCs, developers who are going to build affordable units. Now, many people feel that what could be helpful is in those permitted units and those permitted buildings to buy down the affordability to really make it obtainable by some of our working class and some of our working poor. That's one way. The other way is to basically provide down payment assistance for folks who want to own a home. And the other way is to look at the already successful acquisition opportunity program the city of Boston has, which has been allowed CDCs to purchase at market rate triple deckers and keep them permanently affordable with the tenants in them. And what we need to continue to get to 1,000 units is 83 units a year. That's going to cost us about $7 million. And we don't have that on an annual basis to make sure that fund is fully funded. So we're already seeing wonderful opportunities that need the funds, and we think speculators need to start to pay in.
So earlier today, we spoke with Greg Vassell. He's the director of the Greater Boston Real Estate Board. We spoke to him about this proposal, and he notes that there may be some what he calls unintended consequences with this proposal. For instance, in an effort to crack down on some of the luxury development, he says it could actually end up hurting affordable housing efforts. So let's listen to what he said.
A lot of this is focused, I think, on the resentment of some of the luxury construction that's happened. But, I mean, what about all the buildings that have inclusionary zoning, that have affordable units in them that are going to be trading? Should you, from a bigger picture tax policy, continue to hit those buildings every time they're sold?
So have you taken that into consideration, how to avoid costs being passed on to tenants if taxes are added as buildings are bought and sold?
Yeah, we've taken that into consideration. We've taken a lot of the pushback, which is it's going to kill development. It's going to drive developers away from Boston. And my immediate response to a lot of these things is, so what is working or what isn't really working? And that's the build all you can as much as possible for as long as possible. And hopefully it'll trickle down to the rest of us. That is not working. That is what we're doing right now. We are trying to build our way out of a housing crisis. So when I hear from folks who are concerned, quite frankly, about the fact that we're going to be killing development, that we are going to be punishing folks who are trying to do the right thing, I really wish they took that same fervor when it came to the amount of displacement that's happening for our middle class, even our businesses, from our working poor. I really wish that that was where their focus was. And to be very frank, you know, this is the beginning of the conversation. We have exemptions right now in the ordinance. And if it makes sense to provide additional exemptions for so that a building that's already affordable gets traded to another affordable owner, then fine. Maybe then I'm happy to explore not having the fee apply to that if that's going to incentivize keeping the building affordable. Mm. So this is nothing that we can't adjust for. Whatever concerns that they're talking about, we can add exemptions to this. This is just a recipe right now where we haven't fully baked anything. It's looking at the exemptions. It's also looking at the percentages as well. We may want to start at $5 million instead of $2 million. This is all adjustable. But I think there's a fundamental agreement that we cannot continue the way we are. We do not have the funds, and we need money to create affordable housing, and we do not have enough.
Hmm. So what about this pushback that I'm sure you've already heard, that this could unintentionally hurt business in the city? Here's Vassil again.
People want to be in the city. Companies want to be in the city because they want to be around other companies that have smart people. And if you drive those costs and increase the rent that's going to get charged to those businesses, they're going to take a look and say, geez, I want to get outside of 128.
You know, so he's basically saying that this proposal could have unintended consequences, like essentially raising the rent for some people. Is that a concern for you? How might that in turn affect people's ability to afford housing?
I think that's interesting that raising the rent on commercial entities has been the top concern. I'm telling you, the rents are going up right now on regular people. I wish that same, again, fervor for concern about raising rents was applied to the average Bostonian who cannot afford to stay here. The families, the teachers, the police officers, the firefighters, the city workers that are required to live in the city of Boston are struggling to make it. So I don't really think that the concern about rising rents for commercial entities is something that I'm going to be focusing on. And I'm unapologetically going to be focusing on trying to keep Bostonians here in the city of Boston. And I think a business that really wants to be here will pay the price.
Hmm. The housing market is hot now, but what if we see a slowdown? Do you think this proposal will still be viable then?
That's, again, part of the drafting. We can look at sunset provisions. We can have an annual renewal. Mm-hmm. This does not have to be permanent and forever. We can adjust this language to make sure that we're capturing our income and the revenue during the boom. And if, for whatever reason, God forbid, we end up in a bust, we do not want to stop development. We do not want to stop people coming to Boston. And so we can actually say that this may not we shouldn't renew it this year.
Hmm. So a lot of things have to happen before this proposal is approved. You mm-hmm. know, it must win the city council support. It has to be signed by the mayor.
Right.
And then it has to go to Beacon Hill, where the legislature has to approve it. How will you gain support for this proposal for during all those levels?
Well, so I think that the support is already there in many cases. You'll see there's already been Somerville's passed a version of it. Cambridge is working on their version. We have a version now in Boston. Newton, I just recently saw that their counselors might be working on a version. So it's caught fire in terms of the concept that developers are not paying their fair share, and we are the ones who are dealing with this. Are dealing with the burden of it. I think the narrative that also is worth bringing to Beacon Hill is that those cities that I just mentioned, excluding Newton, Cambridge, Boston, and Somerville have built 65% of the new housing units in the entire state. We've done our fair share. We have built. We are asking now for compensation for the burden of building, overbuilding our communities to help house all of Massachusetts. And if Beacon Hill won't help us and build out in the suburbs, then maybe they can also help us with generating funds to make sure at least the units we're creating are affordable.
Hmm. So we know that the legislature is where things can get tricky. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw that happen with the Jim Brooks Stabilization Act, which would have helped track evictions in the city and notify tenants of their rights upon eviction. But the legislature ended up killing that bill. Are you worried that that could happen with this proposal?
I think that there's ways in which to look at it. This is a home rule proposal, which it's much higher than the current version, because Representative Mike Connolly already has a version. So I'll say thank you to Representative Connolly and Senator Boncori, who are introducing a statewide opt-in that allows for municipalities to opt into a version of this. It's at 2% total. This is at 6% for Boston. So I think the fact that Boston is trying to say, listen, we need in on this and we'll do it on our own, and the state is already pushing for it as a statewide legislation to opt in, and you have other cities, I just think that we're in a different narrative at this point. I think that I'm not concerned about them killing this. I'm concerned about whether they want to hear from the people who are truly suffering, who are desperate to stay in the city or desperate to stay in affordable housing. And I would flip it on that. Are they concerned about one day, if they choose not to take leadership on this, if they choose not to be part of this conversation and this solution, then maybe they should be more concerned about their jobs.
We're running out of time. 30 seconds here. Really quickly, the mayor set to give his State of the City address tonight. What do you hope to hear from him as far as housing is concerned?
I hope that he leads. I hope that he's speaking from a vantage point and perspective of our middle class, our working poor, our working class, and our poor individuals in Boston, and saying they are the ones, and their perspective and their recipe for how to house and live in an affordable community is going to be my guiding light. I will listen to them and then turn to the developers and turn to the money class and turn to the investors and say, follow their lead and tell me, as the mayor of Boston, what you need in terms of tax incentives or other acquisition opportunities, whatever you need for me to help you get to their goals and their dignified housing goals.
Boston City Councilor Lydia Edwards, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. We'll be right back.